When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here, off and running hour number two as we get ready for a big night on the diamond, Major League Baseball. A couple of games already underway, including the Marlins and the Phillies, no score there. Also, Rays, Nats, no score. They are in the bottom of the first in Tampa. We do have the Rangers and O's getting ready to start, as well as the Yankees and the Blue Jays. But I do love the slate coming up a little bit later here, and I'm still trying to get over, and I'm sure he is as well, as Mark Zeno stepping in and joining us here on Game Time Decisions. Your Atlanta Braves are going to drive me to drink. I have no idea how they lost that game last night, 1-0. I have no idea how you waste a start by Sale like that against the worst team in Major League Baseball. And now they're home taking on the Pirate. And what leads us to believe we can trust Charlie Morton and Atlanta in this spot here tonight?
Well, I trust Charlie Morton more than I trust the Braves lineup. I mean, you just got shut out by one of the worst teams at baseball and the worst bullpen in baseball. You couldn't scratch a single run across. Like, it's time to push the panic button on this Braves offense. And Alex Anthopoulos has got to do something to reinvigorate this. You thought maybe when Austin Riley got back and Sean Murphy got back and, you know, that they would start to see some plus. But, you know, Marcelo Ozuna is the only guy hitting worth a damn. Matt Olson, who led the league in home runs last year, couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat this year. I mean, it's bad. And this is not a team that can overtake the Phillies in the NL East if they can't score runs. Because the pitching in reality hasn't been all that bad. And look, they're using a six-man rotation, right? They're trying to save Chris Sale's arm. They're trying to, you know, Ronaldo Lopez, they're trying to bring him along slowly. Like, they have this plan in place that's pretty unorthodox. And if they were scoring five and a half runs a game like they were last year, they'd look like geniuses. But right now, because they are where they are and they're just sort of scuffling through the first 2 months of the season, now going on full 3 months of the season, it's like, okay, we'll make the playoffs, but guess what? This is not a World Series team. If they can't score, they're dead in the water. And I trust Charlie Morton tonight more, like, to pitch me to an under than I do the Braves to hit me to an over.
I kind of agree with you there. And I want to take an over in this ballpark as well on a hot, humid night, but it's a coin flip to me.
Martin Perez is terrible. Take the over every time that dude pitches. But you can't trust this Braves offense. There's nothing about it you can trust.
Nope. I want to take the over in Toronto and the Yankees, and I can't do that either.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know, when the Braves are still being priced this way as a near 2-1 favorite, it should raise along. Like, the market is not adjusted to the Braves yet and the way they are. I'm not playing the Braves above, like, 150, 160. No shot. Because they just don't have consistency at this point to prove that they're better than a 2-1 favorite against anybody, even against the White Sox. Like, you just can't. So if the Braves are laying 200, take the +1.5 with the underdog and just, you know the Braves offense likely isn't going to do enough to beat you.
I agree 100% there. We have another game coming up. This was a good one last night. The Royals taking on the Guardians, game two. Royals got it done with great pitching. Waka again and the bullpen shutting down the Guardians 2-1 last night. We got McKenzie on the mound tonight for the Guardians, which usually means we're going to get runs. Marsh on the mound for Kansas City. It just feels like this is an over. Can we trust the lineup of the Royals to get to McKenzie and score enough to get this thing up and over?
Well, I think yes. I mean, Tristan McKenzie has been an absolute dumpster fire all year long. Mm-hmm. He's given up at least three runs in five of his last six starts. He's bad. I mean, you know, this is a guy with a 4.66 ERA, a 1.5 whip. He's got 46 walks, Joe, in 73 innings. So that's more than one every other inning. And he's given up 17 bombs on the year. Like, these are big numbers, like eye-popping numbers. Like, hey, man, why are you still in the rotation kind of numbers? Alec Marsh, who starts for the Royals, he gets better than five runs of support per start. Royals are 9-5 with him on the mound this year. Like, I feel like this is mispriced. I feel like the Royals are a big discount here because the Guardians have been so good and their offense has been so good. And, yeah, you're depending on Alec Marsh, whose numbers haven't been all that great either, to kind of get you through. I mean, his ERA is in the mid-fours, but at least he's keeping the ball in the ballpark for the most part. So, you know, I think the over would be the play, but I would just look to Kansas City and their team total over in the first five against McKenzie. If it's 2.5 and the guy's given up at least three in five of his last six starts, why try to buck that trend? Run with it and just play against McKenzie.
Yep, I agree. I love that look there. Also, another game late night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Detroit and the Angels last night. Funny thing about that game. It was all the runs seemed to be scored in the third inning. I think it was amazing in the first five. 5-0 there. But do we trust Detroit to bounce back in this spot here tonight? The Angels are feisty. They either win or they get blown out. So which one is it tonight? What do we get from the Angels?
I mean, look, can we just go back to last night, what a bad beat that was? I had under 4.5 in the first five with Jack Flaherty on. Joe, Jack Flaherty gave up three home runs last night, including a two-out, two-strike, two-run homer in the bottom of the fifth to go from 3-5 and make me a loser. Like, Jack Flaherty had given up a total of five home runs since the beginning of May. He gave up three last night alone. I just – what a bad beat that was last night. But here's the strange thing about the Angels. Like, I don't know, maybe the Athletics, or maybe just beating up on bad teams, but they scored 17 runs in the three games against the Athletics. They scored another five last night. No, by the way, they didn't score a run the rest of the game after getting over five in the first five by themselves. And you ask if Detroit can bounce back. The short answer is no, because they can't hit. And they can't hit on the road. So you're asking the Tigers to do something out of the ordinary. Look, and they're starting Zach Plesac. What do you know about Zach Plesac?
Nothing.
Oh, and I don't think it matters. I mean, his 8.6 ERA is probably disturbing. His 1.5 whip is disturbing. He's only made two starts on the year. He's given up a combined nine runs in 9 1/3 innings. So, like, nothing is good here. But still, the Tigers faced a pitcher last night who hadn't pitched since last year and only had three professional starts under his belt. And that dude, in eight innings, gave up no runs and struck out eight. So if there's ever a get-right spot for any pitcher who's got an 8.68 ERA, it's against the Detroit Tigers on the road.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and listen, Maeda on the mound, he's had some troubles, but the bullpen is ready to go for Detroit. They'll pull him if there's an issue. It does feel like this is
unlike
a good spot to back.
Jack Flaherty in the fifth inning last night.
Correct. Yeah,
unlike that.
Yeah, that's unlike correct. That really unlike the... Yeah. Right, yeah, that was not great there. But he did look good for the first through the four inning. So Joe, we've got that. We do have
– it goes back to the same adage. If managers and coaches played – managed and coached the cover spreads, they would win so many more games, right?
Like, correct.
If he was playing there to keep it 3-0, there's a much better chance they can get back in that game than 5-0. It's just that correct. Logic that you use. They're not supposed to think like that, but if they did, they would be in better positions throughout the game.
They, but from what I understand, that would require them to push away the analytics people who call from upstairs and say, you got to wait till he gets to 54 pitches as opposed to, you know, the 48 and the struggling that he's having. So that's the big problem with some of these teams is they live by the analytics, die by the analytics. And guess what? You died last night with them. The Dodgers and the Giants tonight for the late cap here, Zin, it feels like, why in the world are the Dodgers this price? What are we missing here? Actually, don't answer that. Hold on. Stay right there. Stay right there. Hold on. Because there's more I want to dive into with this game with you. I got the best pitcher on the Giants going tonight. I got a rookie pitching for the Dodgers, but that still doesn't explain why this price is the way it is. So don't go anywhere. We'll get your thoughts on that game as Game Time Decisions will continue here on the grid. Happy Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as more Major League Baseball underway right now. Opening game for the Mets at Citi Field against Houston, and Altuve welcomed the Mets, although I guess the Mets welcomed Altuve with a home run, leadoff home run, 1-0 there over the Mets there. Nothing Padres and the Red Sox. Yankees and Blue Jays, top of the first, still no score there. Mark Zeno joining us here, coming back for us. I want to get your thoughts on this late game here tonight because a lot of people scratching their heads with the Dodgers taking on the Giants. Dodgers had off yesterday. The Giants had an extra inning loss at home against the Cubs. Although they've won 8 of their last 10, they got Webb on the mound going up against a rookie. This is priced as if we're missing something. Are we missing something here tonight, Zin?
I mean, I feel like it's mispriced. Like, it depends on how you approach these scenarios, right? Like, what does your mind say? So there's one school of thought that says, well, the spread is that low for, like, the Giants are that, you know, close to even money for a reason because they have a great chance to win this game, and odds makers know that, so they're going to price it that way. The other school of philosophy is you get the Dodgers at a price you almost never get them. It's a discount. And when they are this short of a favorite, they end up winning. When the Dodgers have been minus 120 a favorite or less to even money, they're 3-1 this year. Their only loss was to Yu Darvish. They got shut out back when Yu Darvish was unhittable back in the beginning of May. So other than that, when you see the Dodgers this short of a favorite, they usually take care of business and they usually score a lot of runs because they're a better team than who they're playing. And just for some reference, you know, it was the Mets, it was the White Sox, and it was the Yankees that they were the three other wins that they had. Again, the Padres was the loss. So, you know, and oh, by the way, it's interesting that James Paxton was a starter in 2 of those 4 games because we know how crazy he is at this point in time this year and what his numbers are. So I think Logan Webb is great at home. He's the best Giants starter. But in reality, you're asking a Giants lineup that isn't potent to go out and score more than a Dodgers lineup that is. And oh, by the way, once you get to the 5th inning, 6th inning, if Logan Webb gets out of there, now you're in the Giants bullpen, a place you don't want to be against the Dodgers lineup. I tend to look at this and go, there's no way the Dodgers should be this short of a favorite. Not against the Giants, not against a team that's a first place team, not on the, you know, I understand they're on the road, but, you know, like these situations just, I think this is a case for me where they're mispriced. I'll take the Dodgers and lay it on the money line.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll say this, it's probably the best chance in this series that the Giants have that kind of pitching advantage on the mound. And we'll see whether or not the bats can come up with it. But it's certainly the total is low enough to think that it's going to be close. All right, Zin, the news came down a little less than an hour ago. You know, you're an Atlanta guy, so you know that big question marks with Atlanta in the draft with the one pick. They went overseas, and we were still left scratching our head saying, what are you doing with Murray? What are you doing with Trae Young? Well, as it turns out, we know what they did with Murray. He's on his way to the Pelicans. And you were saying in the break, they got a pretty decent haul for this trade?
Kind of depends on how you look at it. I mean, they get Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels. They get a first-round pick next year in 2025, which is what they gave away to get Murray, right, in the trade with San Antonio. So they desperately wanted that pick back. And they get a 2027 first-round pick from New Orleans. So it's a moderate haul. It's not big. But, I mean, for me, I look at this objectively. It's like, okay, standing pat and running this back as it is and adding a draft pick nets you the same result. At best, you're a play-in team. So you got to make a move. You got to do something. They made a move. It needed to be done. I still think they traded the wrong guy. If you look at the team with DeJounte Murray on the floor, they played this thing called defense, which is something the Hawks never play with Trae Young on the floor, which is why they're at best a play-in team, because they allow opponents to score 120 points per game. So the point simply is that they did not want to let Trae Young go. Now, I mean, listen, I have no clue, but a Trae Young trade may be coming alongside of it, which would be absolutely brilliant, because that's what they should do, is just hit a reset button and completely start all over. I don't think they will, but there are no adults in the room in the front office. You have the owner's son as part of the brain trust. We talked about nepotism in the NBA with Bronny James. The Hawks are another example of nepotism. Tony Ressler's son has helped run in the front office with Landry Fields and a whole bunch of, like, you know, other 28-year-old nerds who play NBA 2K. So, you know, that's who's making these decisions here, which is probably why they didn't get a bigger haul for DeJounte Murray. But I still think they traded the wrong guy. I think from when push comes to shove, when it comes down to it, that Trae Young should have been the guy that was going to go. One, because it would have got you more in return. And two, because Murray is just a better defender. The team and the metrics are better with him on the floor and Trae not, after Trae Young got hurt to end the year. They actually played defense. They were better. They were more competitive. But, you know, that's what happens when you draft a guy like Trae Young. He's really, really hard to let go, because you're sending a message to the fan base like, hey, we kind of quit here.
He's not a great locker room guy either. I mean, I don't get it. But like you said, they may not be done. I do love it for the Pelicans, who I think are now, this signals Brandon Ingram is gone. There's been rumors about that to begin with. So you give me a guy like Murray, who can, a scoring guard who can play defense around. I love it. I absolutely love it. And he can stay healthy. I think this is a pretty good move for the Pelicans here. They're getting a pretty good scoring guard who plays defense. Not a bad move.
Yeah. I mean, Ed and CJ McCollum, healthy. Ed and Zion Williamson, healthy. This is a team that can make some noise. I'm not saying they're going to be in the top three of the West, but they're going to be a nuisance next year to the teams. They're going to be really – they could do something similar to what the Minnesota Timberwolves do, get in as a 4 or 5 seed and then make a run and start to surprise some people, similar also with Dallas did this year. So, you know, I love the trade for New Orleans. And, you know, back to Trae Young real quick. Trae Young's not a bad player. He's a great player. But sometimes fit supersedes talent. And Trae is just not a fit in Atlanta. He needs to go somewhere else where he is the worst defender out there and everybody else does play defense, a la what the Clippers do with James Harden, and everything else seems to work out.
Exactly. But the problem is if he's uncoachable or if he's got way too much say in an organization, it never, ever, ever works. Mark Zeno, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the games. Go Detroit tonight, in fact. And Game Time Decisions, we'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Friday to you as we are off and running here on a slate of games here tonight, Major League Baseball. Some interesting scores thus far early on. If you had the Phillies and the Marlins being knotted at zero here through coming up to the bottom of the fifth, congratulations if you had that on the bingo card. And with the Phillies and the news coming out earlier today that Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are now both on the IL for a minimum of 10 days, a groin for Schwarber and a hamstring pull for Harper. Not great news. Two guys, Trey Turner's still not 100% for the Phillies. Not a great situation right now, and they can't obviously score runs against the Marlins pitching staff right now. However, scoring runs, not a problem for Toronto as they just drove in one here. And you'll never guess who's getting started. That would be Springer, apparently, driving in Bichette, who is finally healthy as well. And a single now. I think it was a single, a stolen base, and now a single by Springer has driven him in. Springer has absolutely destroyed the Yankees in this first game here, and now he's on his way to doing it again. We are underway in Atlanta, Truist Park. Nothing in that one there. That's just underway. We also are in the top of the second. No score between the Padres and the Red Sox. The Mets in all sorts of trouble here early against the Astros. We've got a bases loaded situation, two outs, one run in already in the top of the first for the Astros. And Quintana is very close to walking in a run here right now. He's got a full count with two outs. They have already, the pitching coach, come out to talk to him after he gave off the leadoff home run to Altuve. It did not get better from there. And we know the Astros, listen, this is what they're vintage for, right? Making guys, especially left-handers, work. They take pitches. They foul off a ton of pitches. They don't strike out a lot. And against a non-strikeout pitcher like Quintana, this was not a great situation here tonight. But he is one pitch away from getting out of this mess. But if he keeps throwing 25 pitches an inning, that bullpen of the Mets might very well be in sooner rather than later here. But it looks like he did get out. So 1-0 Astros against the Mets in that one. We do have, of course, much more baseball coming up here tonight. One of the games in which I'm looking forward to is going to be the Seattle game against Minnesota. Gilbert going up against Ober for Minnesota. I like this game because I like the over in this spot here. I think the Twins, the number one team in Major League Baseball when it comes to not striking out since June 1st. They are putting the bat on the ball. They have cut back on the Ks. That is going to be huge for them moving forward. Big scare last night with Carlos Correa, who left the game in the seventh inning after being hit on the right wrist. It was not, it looked like it wasn't going to be good, but apparently x-rays were negative, and it looks like he's going to be in that lineup here tonight, and that is good news. Byron Buxton also getting going here, so they are finally healthy, this Twins team here, and you can tell by the amount of runs that they've been scoring and how they have been swinging the bat. We can't say exactly the same thing for Seattle, especially on the road, but I think seven is just entirely too low of a number from two teams. Seattle has become a very home run or bust team, and that's the problem with them. They are more than capable of hitting the ball out of the ballpark at home. They're a much better team at home than they are on the road. I just don't think they're going to run over the Twins here, so I think there is plenty of value on the over in this game coming up tonight. That, too, is going to be one of your late-night games. Also, the Athletics are playing baseball, in case anybody cares. Sears versus Ciccone in that one, although the Diamondbacks got embarrassed last night. I do think the Diamondbacks, I wouldn't be at all scared at taking an over here, because I do think the Athletics will be able to get a couple of runs in against Ciccone, and we know the Diamondbacks should be able to pick off Sears here with no problem. So an over in that one there. We've got Reds Cardinals we'll talk about, plus an update. Chicago taking on the Brewers. We'll do that. Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. A very happy Friday to you as we've got action all over the place in Major League Baseball. We're also getting ready for the NHL draft, that's going to begin in Las Vegas at the new Sphere here, as a lot of teams, especially San Jose, although there does seem to be a consensus number one pick happening here in this tonight. And then after that, much like the NBA draft, a lot of people just throwing their hands up going, it could be anybody. Neither draft, in fact, the NBA or the NHL, has a ton of high profile guys that will move the needle for a franchise, which is, it's a down year in both sports there with the next generation of up and coming talent. So, but that means there's going to be a whole lot of diamonds in the rough for people. And that's ultimately how it comes. Don't forget, the Joker was a second round pick for Denver in the draft moons ago. Draymond Green was a second round pick that nobody even paid attention to. So there is a long history of guys making a name for themselves who you might not have heard of at the draft, but keep an eye on it because there's a lot of teams hoping to turn a corner with this draft here tonight. And it appears that the Atlanta Hawks are ready to go. And for changes here, if you haven't heard the breaking news, is that the NBA and Atlanta, who had the number one draft pick, Richey, they ended up taking him number one. French player kid was absolutely a beast, part of the trio of guys that that played with Wembanyama in France and had their eyes on him, and he went number one. Great shooter, but it also kind of meant that either Trae Young or DeJounte Murray were not going to last. Somebody was going to get traded, and we just learned a little while ago that, in fact, DeJounte Murray will be heading to the Pelicans to play alongside Zion Williamson. And I think that is fabulous for the Pelicans. They ended up getting a bunch of draft picks in return, along with, I believe, Dyson Daniels, the Hawks are going to be getting here. So I do think this is the beginning of maybe a reset for the Atlanta Hawks, but I don't know what they're going to do with Trae Young. It has long been rumored he's not a great locker room guy. He's a hell of a talent, and we all know that. But can you win with just talent alone? That remains to be seen here. Quinn Snyder has got his hands full, but I love the fact that Zion is going to get a shooting guard to play alongside that can stay healthy, unlike Brandon Ingram, who in all likelihood, if he's not hurt, will be playing someplace else. I think they are definitely making a big effort to build around Zion Williamson. It's about, well, speaking of healthy, it would be great, Zion, if you stayed healthy as well. But DeJounte Murray to New Orleans, and then if you did not hear earlier today, the Dallas Mavericks have decided to part ways with a former Sixth Man of the Year candidate, and that was Tim Hardaway Jr. He is gone, as they say in Dallas, but not without something in return. And that something in return is Quentin Grimes, former New York Knick, then to Detroit in this craziness, the trades. And now he will land with Luka and Kyrie here. So Grimes only set to make about $4 million, which is going to give the Mavericks a whole lot of flexibility to sign a guy like Derrick Jones Jr. a little bit later this summer. And that's good news because he is a great fit for this Dallas Mavericks team. And I love what Quentin Grimes brings to the table, both defensively and scoring wise. I think that is a great opportunity for Luka and Kyrie, and for Quentin Grimes for that matter. It just did not work out with Hardaway Jr. here, who's making $16 million and in the final year of a contract. So now is the time to move on there. We also have an update here now in a couple of Major League Baseball games as we are going around the horn, and the Phillies have finally scored a run. It's 1-0 Phillies, end of the fifth inning here. So the Phillies do win the first five, although I don't know anybody betting the Phillies here at a minus 250 price. is what they went off at here today. But they are 1-0 here, so they'll win the first five. We'll see if the bullpen can keep it going there. Somebody who burned a ticket live on in-game live primetime last night on the Phillies joins us here as Dave Sherapin in the house here. And I'm wondering, did you make that same mistake tonight and look to back the Phillies, who we had to watch melt down live on television last night against the Marlins? And then we learned today, not one, but two of their best players now shelved here for the foreseeable future in Schwarber and Harper. But, I mean, do you need more than one run to beat the Marlins here, Dave, is the big question.
Well, we get to the bullpen. First of all, good to see you, Joe. Yeah, thanks for bringing that back up about burning tickets. Yep. I just came from lunch, and there was a burning bush. Somebody drove by and flicked out a cigarette, and I was putting out fire. So I apologize for my tardiness. It was incredible. I'm sitting in the sandwich shop going, I think there's a fire outside, and we got buckets from behind the counter, went out, put out the fire, saved the police or fire department a trip from coming. So burning tickets last night, putting out fires today in Vegas, where they're doing the NHL draft right down the street. After the show, me and Peralta are doing next. We're going to go down there. We got tickets to the Power Slap. So that was big news. So we're going to see the Power Slap. Then we're heading over to the Sphere, meet some people over there. Big night in Vegas. I didn't know what to wear, so I said I'll wear a hockey jersey, my NHL jersey, and an LV hat for Vegas. So coordinated the whole fit. Yeah. Works.
Yeah. I've been trying desperately to figure out what how to bet this Power Slap, but I can't seem to find the heading anywhere here at some spots. But I'm imagining that Power Slap is available in Vegas, and I'm guessing Van Zandt is probably a huge favorite at this point.
Funny that I went to the weigh-in yesterday. I still don't know why they do the weigh-ins for Power Slap, but she was the favorite. And then the steam came against her. She was around a -120 favorite. Everybody in the know out here anyway bet against her. Because apparently the first time doing the Power Slap, there's a lot of rules, things you cannot do. And if you're penalized for that, you lose. So she gets to strike first, which, again, apparently the first time out is not always the easiest. And the girl she's going against has done this before. So the smart money, again, we'll use the air quotes, is on the dog, which is now the favorite in the fight. So, that one tonight, big week. I mean, I haven't never seen this in person, but I was invited minutes before I came on here, and I said, absolutely, we'll be down after the show. So I'm going to catch it live, and we'll see what it's like in person.
I can't wait to hear what you think of that. And you mentioned it, a lot of buzz around the NHL draft. Outside of the universal consensus number one pick, everyone I've talked to here, Dave, says it's not a great draft, kind of like the NBA, where we all went, not a great draft. It seems like anything is possible after the first pick here, which should be getting underway, I believe, for San Jose any minute there. We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, we'll take a look at some of these Major League Baseball games coming up that you and Peralta will handle. And we'll do that when Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Neri alongside Dave Sherapin. Glad to see you haven't melted in the 113-degree weather there out in Vegas. But nothing says hockey like Vegas and 113 degrees here. But they are off and running, it seems here, Dave, that the NHL draft, the universal consensus here with Celebrini from Boston U goes to the Sharks. And then it just seems like a whole lot of teams battling with a whole lot of very large individuals that are probably going to play on the defensive side for teams, including the Hawks, the Ducks, the Blue Jackets, and I think the Canadians are up next.
Yep, and it's pretty wild watch what the draft has become. And it's in Vegas. It's at the Sphere. Celine Dion is walking up the pick right now. So, like, it is just one of those things where it's showtime. Vegas does the show as good as anybody. They had the NHL Awards here, and they got all the trophies out on display. Apparently, they brought the Stanley Cup from South Florida, Joe, and brought it out to Vegas for the draft and for the weekend. So your name's not on it, but I feel like you had a hand in it because you went to game five and you were in the building and then you chose not to go to game seven and they got it done.
Correct.
So the Panthers, I think, came with the cup to Vegas, and it may be one of those crazy weekends where we might see them and the cup like we did last year in Vegas with the Knights. They would just pop up in places. They would, one night they were at the Aviator game. Another night they were downtown at Fremont Street. And, you know, all the calls went out. So as much as I'll be looking for a winner tonight in the late games in the baseball, I'll be down on the strip looking for the cup, trying to find the cup.
Oh, yeah. You well, I mean, I tend to think that they might have a backup cup for moments like this here, Dave. It might look like the cup, but it's not really the cup. You know, like how they have like the Declaration of Independence in a museum, but it's not really the Declaration. It's just like one of these nice. I think maybe that's what we've got going on here tonight, because I just saw a picture. It was down at a local pizzeria this afternoon, so I have no idea how it made it out to Vegas that quick. I'm not saying there's anything. I'm just thinking there's more than one cup that might be hanging around right now. I think there's two cups. I'm just saying. One real, one not so real, but one of them was at a pizzeria here in South Florida. Don't forget the parade is tomorrow. So how are you going to get the cup from Vegas back to the parade in South Florida? I mean, I don't see how that's going to work there, but it is fun, though. You're going to have a lot of you got a lot of fun going on there. Plus, you got UFC 303 tomorrow, which I imagine the hype surrounding this little disappointment with Connor and his toe against Chandler. Yep. Now, that's not going to be there. Pereira's there. How crazy does it get in Vegas for like a big UFC 303 match like this? Is it one of the hottest tickets in town, no matter who's fighting?
So in the last couple years, the handle for the Vegas events is boosted pretty much everywhere. But in town, it becomes one of those buzz weekend towns. I'm talking like not on the level of when Mayweather fought Pacquiao or when Mayweather fought McGregor. But fight weekends here, there's a buzz. It's great. This had all of that until he broke his toe or, you know, backed out of the fight. Now, I went to the weigh-ins this morning, hung out with John Anik and a bunch of the other guys that do the media stuff. It was so much fun. But there's a really – this is a fight fan's fight card. And there's some guys that have some really good plays on certain fights that maybe only real fight fans would know. Like if tonight, you know, for real baseball fans, Cincinnati – and St. Louis is a good baseball game. If you're not a baseball person, you might not even be interested or you might not want to make a play. But like in that, I like Cincinnati. So this Lopez, Diego Lopez against Ortega is supposed to be one of those plays for the weekend, for tomorrow night.
Interesting.
And that turned into a bigger fight because when the main card, when the main event comes off the card, these other ones get put into spots. So it's not like they just add fights. They just fill in a blank, one or two, you know, fights. So that fight is the one that I think, you know, I got a couple really respected people that told me Lopez is the side.
Well, and minus 130, 140, somewhere in that ballpark there. So there is I still don't understand the Pereira price at minus 145, minus 150 when he beat the living snot out of Man Bun the last time out. So I don't understand why. I'm sorry, but that's not. It's J Man Bun. Prozac, yeah, I'm only kidding. But he's got a sick man lid that he rolls in with. But he got
I saw it in person today.
How is this not a $2 fight?
He had it up today. I saw the man bun from 10 feet away at the weigh-in, and I was like, wow, that thing is even more impressive in person.
Yes, yes.
The word on the street is that he's live. And I don't get it either. Now, this is one of those things that a lot of people, I'm telling you, the money came against them, you know, came on man bun and against Pereira. I've been here for 2 days in and around these people that are playing it, talking about it, betting it. And they said it's going to reverse.
That's fascinating.
I don't get it.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
No.
I don't get it.
I do not get it. I also don't get why Anthony Smith is continuing to fight when he's got a nice cushy job behind the desk in front of the camera. And every time somebody backs out, you know, Dana White Pickett, he's like, hey, Anthony, you want to get... Want to get back into it? Like, why, dude? You can't get out of the first round. You're getting choked out in every, like, stop it. It's like, come on. Just stay in front of the camera, man. It's a much easier way to make a living here. All right, don't go anywhere there, Dave. We'll get you out of here because you got a busy night coming up. But when we get back here, we're going to take a look. I want to know what's going on with the Dodger line tonight against the Giants. Which is a little strange. A lot of people scratching their head. If it's too good to be true, maybe it's true. We'll find out when Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready to close out this edition in-game live prime time with Dave Sharapan. Matty Peralta will be coming up here in just a few. And Dave, I don't know, we have breaking news here, very disturbing news, in fact, that the game of the century tonight between the White Sox and the Rockies has been delayed. So that's good news for you coming up, though. So you'll have the temptation to want to talk about that game and not being able to talk about it is going to be testing your patience, I'm sure. But in the meantime, tell me what the word on the street is on this. Take that off. Let's not even promote the Colorado and Chicago. They don't even deserve to have themselves even promoted in this game. But what's up with the Dodgers price tonight? What are we missing with the price against the Giants here? It's a pick 'em, and everyone's like, why are the Dodgers a pick 'em price here?
I would almost, without knowing, expect somebody to be out of the lineup, right? And I'm saying meaning Shohei isn't playing. Something's up. I don't know. The game overnight was minus 115, minus 120. Area on the Dodgers, and it's been nothing but the other way all day. I mean, I just clicked refresh, it's minus 120. It's literally minus 115 and as high as minus 120 on the Giants. Now, Logan Webb has been really, really good. And when I saw it last night, I said, oh, well, I'll take Logan Webb at even money. I don't know if I take Logan Webb at minus 120, but that'll be a game that I think will go under. I think we'll see a lower scoring game. The Giants haven't been the best offense recently, and their games, although they've had a couple overs, they've gotten there with extra innings. So this is this screams under to me, and as a book guy, it screams Giants, and it's a cautionary tale to everybody watching the show that, like you said it as we went to the break, sometimes when it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah. I would wait for the end game for this one. That's one that I'm just not crazy about. The one game I do like late is Seattle against Minnesota. I like Gilbert, and a lot of people on the fence about that. But you give me Seattle at home, and it's a short price, and the steam is coming against them, and I understand why. They're taking the Twins. Twins have been good on the road. I think 12-3, something like that. I forget what the actual number is. I have it over here somewhere. They've been good on the road. So another one where you kind of just sit back and let it come to you. 5:15 Pacific, that's coming up next. I like the Reds against the Cardinals. That's one. That's more a play on a guy in Montas that I think a lot of people are looking to fade. So give me the Reds.
Yep. That's it, All right, back in the Reds there. And the Mariners are coming. And there you go. And don't forget, you got slap action coming up here. More updates from the NHL draft. You and Perrault. So get out of here, man. Enjoy the rest of the night here in Game Live Primetime with Dave and Matt coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Enjoy it here tonight. It's going to be a great weekend out in Vegas. And it should be a great night here tonight. Plenty of great games still getting ready to go here, including the Guardians and the Royals, which just feels like we're going to get runs in. So I don't mind the over in that game at all. And the Cubs, not with Dave's money, would I be betting them in any way, shape, or form. Give me the Brewers here tonight at home to handle business. Couple of updates, though. Astros and Mets knotted up at one apiece. No score so far. A pitcher's battle, believe it or not, with Vasquez there and Pivetta in at Boston there at Fenway. It's nothing. The Braves have finally scored a run. It's been a while. 1-0 over the Pirates and the Yankees. Down 1-0 still coming up top of the fourth. And Scherzer is in a battle right now against Baltimore. 0-0 in that one. There is not a lot of high-scoring games thus far that have already started. That might change as the night progresses here. Very hot and humid night across the country here. That usually means the ball is going to travel on these Friday nights. It has not so far. And the Phillies heading to the bottom of the seventh, still up 1-0. Over the Marlins. And that will do it here for us in this edition of Game Time Decisions. We'll be back again tomorrow. In the meantime, In Game Live Primetime is coming up next. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you again soon.